Forgotten Symbols, A Pointed Reminder of Human Stubbornness, an article by James Davy Crockett III. What do Mecca, Jerusalem, and Vatican City share with London, Paris, New York City, and Washington, D.C.? In these cities and in others around the globe, sometimes in the most incongruous locations, we often find great obelisks. Some are actual relics from ancient Egypt, where the design originated, while others are modern interpretations of this ancient theme. Where else is this obelisk design or something very similar to it often found? Think of the many Protestant church buildings with their soaring steeples, or the minaret towering above the Muslim mosque. Many great Roman cathedrals prominently display these ancient architectural features. Is the similarity among these obelisks, spires, and towers just a remarkable coincidence, or is there a meaning, a reason behind these common designs? Ancient Egyptians worshipped many gods, including a sun god, and the obelisk was an important symbol in that worship. The Egyptians, like many other ancient pagan peoples, ascribed mysterious power to symbols, particularly those picturing fertility, abundant crops, or healing. These customs spread to other cultures and remain widespread, even in their present day, where the obelisk and other similar spires have become a familiar icon not only of professing Christianity, but also of secret societies such as the Freemasons. Well, what difference does it make, you may ask? Those old meanings and associations have long been forgotten. They are just nice architectural features which can be beautiful. These are natural reactions, but what does God say about the matter? Interestingly, if we look into the Bible, we find that the way we worship and honor God, the Father, makes a great deal of difference to Him. A quick search for the phrase, sacred pillars, in the New King James Version Bible reveals at least 15 references, each associated with instructions to remove or destroy those symbols of pagan worship. The basis for this instruction is found in the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. Quoted from Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. Further in his instruction to the nation of Israel, God said, quote, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9. The principle is clear. God chooses how He is to be worshipped, and He does not find it acceptable when His people take it upon themselves to use the methods, practices, or symbols of false pagan religions in an effort to worship Him. In fact, not only does He reject such worship, He considers it an abomination. Again and again throughout Scripture, God instructs His people to remove these symbols of paganism. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 5. In the worship of God, there is no room for pagan tradition. Some may say, but these are beautiful traditions. Yes, perhaps they are beautiful to mankind, but Jesus Christ let the people of His day know very plainly that in the true worship of the true God, tradition cannot be substituted for truth. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Matthew chapter 15 and verse 3. It can certainly be enjoyable to worship God in a building of beauty and quality, but He does not require the use of fine buildings. Rather, He insists on being worshipped in spirit and truth. John chapter 4 and verse 24. True worship in modest surroundings, even in rented halls, does please Him in a way that the finest man-made traditions taken from the pagan worship never will. We should never forget this in our worship of the one true God.